Welcome back to Season 5 of The Rock Movers, the podcast for empowered women who are navigating life's biggest transitions, challenges, and moving life's biggest rocks. I'm your host, Karen Gray, and I can't wait for us to get started with today's guest and episode. Are you ready? Let's move some rocks. Hey, Rock Movers. Today's guest is someone that you will recognize his organization because he is the business partner of a former Rock Mover, and that would be Alan Lazarus. Today's guest is Kevin Palmieri. He is the CSO of Next Level University. He's also the host of their podcast, which is a global top 100 self-improvement podcast with more than 1,800 episodes, reaching over a million views in more than 170 countries. I mean, such success. He is a professional podcaster, and we have such a great conversation today where we get real about the things that brought Kevin to this place. He came from getting successful really young, and the challenges of not feeling successful, but having all of the external signs of it. So I know that this heart-driven entrepreneur with a holistic self-improvement and gentle, gentle heart is going to inspire you and motivate you to stretch just 1% more so that you can be your best self ever. So let's get right into the episode with someone that I just know is going to absolutely touch your heart. And that is rock moving friend, Kevin Palmieri from Next Level Universe. Okay, rock movers, you heard how amazing today's guest is. So let's get right to the interview with Kevin Palmieri. Kevin, thanks so much for being here. So excited to have this conversation with you.
Likewise, I appreciate you having me. I am excited. I didn't get a chance to tell you this in the preamble, the behind the scenes, but you have a very, very calm energy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to say I received that. Thank you.
It's
very intentional, and I love holding safe spaces. I love making people feel at ease because safety and security is one of my core values. So I really love being able to extend that to others. So thank you for sharing that.
You're very welcome.
It's so very felt. Seen already.
likewise. From the core values aspect, 1,000%.
Oh, gosh. So let's dive right into today's topic. And we can go totally off topic if you want, because you have such an amazing story. And you have a link to another rock moving conversation that we had with our guest, Alan. And so remind me Alan's last name. I just totally
Lazarus. Lazarus.
Lazarus. Okay. But his dad's name was different. And so we went to his dad's name on the show. Mm. That's what tripped him up when we were talking. So, okay, I'm going to go back to that. And we had such a great conversation. So I know you guys are doing some amazing things over at Next Level Universe, Next Level University. Here's the website. We're going to start it off. So nextleveluniverse.com. You also have a podcast where Next Level University is just really this amazing ecosystem that you guys have created. So how did you get there? What was the first rock? And take us through that.
Yeah, mostly pain and suffering is how we got there, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, those are the rocks, aren't they?
That's a big piece of it. It's always interesting because I believe one of the most common misconceptions is people see where somebody is today and they assume they've been there forever. And they see where they are today and they assume that's where they're going to be stuck forever.
Mm.
And I am not an entrepreneur by trade. I am not a natural entrepreneur. I never thought I was going to be a business owner. All of this is very much a surprise to me. A pleasant surprise, but a surprise nonetheless.
Yeah. Okay.
real quick, I was raised by my mom and my grandmother. Didn't know my dad. I didn't meet my dad until I was 27. Obviously, that played a role in my life, and it still plays a role in my life to some degree, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Lower middle class, didn't have a lot of money. We talked often about how are we going to pay rent. That was a piece of it. But the thing that I had pretty early on is I knew I didn't want to go to college.
Okay.
Just didn't like school, and I could not imagine going to another 4 years of school after high school. So I got a job at the local gas station, and that was my first big boy job, Karen. I pumped gas 5 days a week from 6 a.m. till 2 p.m. Great
hours. Now, where are you at in the world?
At the time, I lived in Massachusetts.
Okay.
I live in New Hampshire now, so pretty close.
Okay.
Yes.
So not everybody has places where people pump their gas. So they're like, what is that? Like,
yeah.
I don't even know what that thing is. But it's yeah, there are parts of the state.
Yeah, it's a lost thing.
Or parts of the world.
Mm-hmm. New Jersey, I think, is one of the states where you have to, somebody has to do it. Massachusetts, I guess some
Oregon
people can.
Also, Oregon too. Yeah, you can't pump your own gas in Oregon.
See? I've never been to Oregon. That'll go on the list. The list
there
of places.
There you go. Yeah, it's a beautiful state.
Well, luckily, in Massachusetts, there was a place where they allowed you to pump other people's gas, and that was my first big boy job. And then I just job hopped. I was a personal trainer. I was a truck driver. I was a forklift operator. I was in construction, HVAC, all sorts of different stuff.
Yeah.
Eventually, I got a job in an industry called weatherization. And all that means is it's our job to go into large buildings and keep the good air in and keep the bad air out. That's the easiest way to explain
it.
Way
to simplify it. We totally get that. Yep.
Yeah. It makes sense. The beauty is I went from making like $15 an hour as a construction worker to anywhere from $60 to $120 an hour doing this job. It was a great change. Yeah, it was a great change. But I fell into the rut of thinking, okay, now I have my career. Everything else will probably just kind of start working out. I think this is the break I've been looking for. So I think I got that job when I was 22 or 23.
That's still pretty young to figure that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I hadn't really figured anything out yet. I thought I did, but if you were to zoom in when I was 25, I had this job. My girlfriend at the time was a model. I was getting ready to compete in a bodybuilding show, so I was in the best shape of my life. Sports car, new apartment, great friends.
Living the life.
Living it up. Yeah, all this stuff that you could ever want. But I was very insecure. I was depressed. I was anxious. I was a shell of a human being. It's the best way to put it.
And why do you think that was?
Because I assumed that if I just accumulated enough external results, it would fix internal voids.
Okay. I want to pause right there.
Please.
Because I think that we are taught in society, on social media, by whatever external sources, that when I get there, wherever we think there is, that things are going to be better. Right? When I get to that income, when I move out of this town and get to that city or whatever, right? When I get there and I'm finally successful, that things are going to be better. What I see over and over and over again is whenever we get there, we bring all of our rocks with us. Wherever we go, there we are. And so all of the brokenness, all of the trauma, all of the insecurity, just like you said, all of the things go with us. And so you had, from external view, everything. Mm. And we see that with our celebrities today, right? They, from all appearances, they get to this place of success and they appear to have it all. And yet we see suicide, we see alcohol abuse, drug abuse. I say, you know, some of the most successful people are some of the loneliest, most broken people because they thought when they got there, it was going to fix everything. And it doesn't. So tell me what happened next for you.
Yeah. So my girlfriend ended up leaving me, as she should have. It was devastating at the time. We have since talked and I wouldn't say we're close, but we have closure and we were amicable.
Yeah.
When she left, that was my initial rock bottom. It was my bills just doubled because we lived together. work got really slow. I was coming back from a bodybuilding show, so I was really struggling with my mental health. And she actually sat me down and said, I was going to leave a couple months ago, but I was afraid you would kill yourself because of how low and how dark of a place I was in.
Wow.
So she left. And you would think this might potentially be that gentle nudge in the, Kev, it's time to work on you. Let's work on you. And I had that for like 5 minutes. It was quick. 5 minutes. I'm going to record some inspirational videos to put up on Instagram. I remember I put one up. It was, I never lose. I always learn or something like that. It's like, that looks cool on Instagram. We'll do that.
Mm.
But I remember going to bed alone, being all alone, super lonely. And I remember saying, this is the year that I'm going to make the most money I've ever made in my entire life, because I think I just haven't made enough yet. I need to make more. So the next year started. I got a promotion at my company. It's all working. It's all aligning like I wanted it to.
Yeah.
And then I proceeded to spend the next 10 months living on the road because all of our contracts were in other states up and down the East Coast of the U.S. Get to the end of the year, open up the final pay stub. I made $100,000 at 26 with no college degree, which genuinely was a dream come true. But I had another one of those moments where I realized that for most of my life, and especially that prior year, I had lived unconsciously. I don't know why I'm doing any of the things I'm doing. I am just chasing things that I think are going to bring me stuff that they never do.
Wow.
That was a very heavy realization. And the opposite of unconscious is hyperconscious.
Yeah. So you flipped.
So I flipped and I started a podcast, as any young man would do in 2017. I started a podcast called the Hyperconscious Podcast. And it became my goal to know as much as humanly possible about myself, so I never fell into that rut again.
Okay.
That became the mission. Fell in love with podcasting. As I'm falling out of love with my job, I've already reached the pinnacle of what I'm going to achieve, but I know that's not the result that I actually desire. But as you know, Karen, in the beginning, there's not exactly a line of people out the door saying, this podcast idea is great. How much money do you need to do this full time? What would be a good round amount for you?
Yeah.
It wasn't happening.
They weren't waiting? Like, what the heck?
Unfortunately not. No, I wish they were.
Wow.
Would have made the story a lot better, for sure, if they were.
It would have made it so much more unbelievable. How about that one?
It would have been easier, too, I'm sure. But
yeah,
nobody was waiting, so I had to keep going to this job. And for me, going to this job involved packing a suitcase and essentially living in a hotel Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then being home for one day a week just on repeat. That essentially was my life.
Living out of a suitcase?
Living out of a suitcase, yeah. So I started calling out of work. I started leaving the job site early, showing up late, all that happy jazz. I went from being a very good employee to a not so good employee pretty quick. And that eventually led to me sitting on the edge of a bed contemplating suicide, because I just felt so stuck. I felt so trapped. I think the best way to explain it is, for most of my life, I did not think I was going to be successful. I am now playing with house money and I am more successful than I ever thought I was going to be. And I cannot imagine a world where I leave this job and somehow accumulate more success than this. I cannot imagine that ever happening. So in my mind, if I just take my life, I will take all my problems with me. And here I am sitting on the edge of a hotel bed, 6 hours away from anybody who cares about me, just going through it. Luckily, reached out to Alan. And at the time, Alan was a really good friend of mine. He was actually the first guest on the Hyperconscious Podcast. So it kind of goes full circle.
And yeah.
He gave me some really good advice that day. He said, Kev, over the last couple of years, your awareness, hyperconscious, has changed a ton, but your environments have remained the same. I think it's time for you to change your environment. So that became the permission and the belief and the awareness that I needed that day to make a different decision. And then it also became kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. So I ended up leaving that job 2 or 3 months later. Mm-hmm. And then him and I partnered up. And then I've been doing this podcasting thing full time with him since 2018. So that's and then it got worse somehow. When I left my job, everything got harder, which I'm happy to dive into. But that's kind of how we got into where we're at. And it's been a heck of a learning experience for sure.
Yeah. So what would you say? I mean, obviously starting a podcast it's simple, but it's not easy. We can make it as difficult as we choose to. But what has been the greatest lesson through all of this that you believe is that defining rock that you've moved out of the bag and now you're using to help other people?
I would say that just admitting my insecurity.
How so? In what way?
Admitting them to myself, admitting them to others, and then just admitting them publicly.
Hey, how is that helping others, or how are you helping others do the same?
I feel like when somebody says something that's on their mind, that's on your mind, you immediately connect more with that person, and everything that they did becomes a little bit more possible.
Yeah.
So I remember, Karen, when I first got into self-improvement, I would listen to these people, and it was predominantly men that I was listening to, and you could tell that they just had Allen belief. It was just, you don't know what it's like to have self-doubt. You've never had it. You have no idea what I'm going through. You don't know what it's like to have imposter syndrome. You don't know what it's like to not think you're smart enough or good enough.
Yeah.
That is why I think vulnerability and authenticity is so important, because it doesn't really matter what I've accomplished if you don't think you can do it too.
Yeah.
And if you know I don't struggle with any of the stuff that you struggle with, you probably also know I can't help you at all. So I'm trying to, if I'm going to walk my talk when it comes to the habits I track and podcasting and all that, I want to walk my talk with the stuff that I struggle with too, because I think as much as our success can connect us, success in quotes for those listening,
yeah,
I also think our struggles can connect us. So that's really trying to do it now. And I'm also trying to create, and this is why I complimented you specifically about this in the beginning, I'm trying to create a safe space within, whether it's our podcast or all the communities we have, where people can just be themselves. Because I think being yourself is one of the hardest things in the world. Because when you pretend to be somebody else and somebody comments on it, you can say, well, that wasn't me anyway. So I'm not going to take that personally.
I love the flip there, because I was about to be like, I was going to argue that point, but I love how you just did it, because that is so true. It is it's a mask that we can wear. Yeah. And then it's like, well, of course, right? It justifies everything. So, okay. Yeah. Can't argue that one.
We talked about it on an episode the other day. It's like, imagine if I gave you a piece of art and I said, this is for you, Karen. And you were not a nice person in this example. And you said, this is the worst piece of crap I've ever seen in my entire life. Two ways. I say, oh, I worked really hard and that hurts. I'm sorry you don't like it. That's, you can even hear my voice, how much pain that would create. Mm-hmm. Or the second one is, I know it sucks, doesn't it? I was just kidding. It took like 5 minutes. I was just messing around.
Yeah.
I'm just distancing myself from all vulnerability and feelings.
Okay. I love this analogy, because this is exactly what we do when, and so bring this into a personal situation. So let's say you're in sales, and let's say you're a coach, because we have a lot of entrepreneurs or coaches or whatever listening, primarily women. And so what I see them do is, I say them, what I've done as well, is we stay super busy, don't get seen, right? Because if we're not seen, then people can't judge. And then I can say, well, you know, I don't have anybody taking my offers. Nobody's buying. I don't have any clients. Well, I haven't made any offers. I'm hiding. Therefore, nobody can say no. And yet I can sit here and complain about it. Do you see this like in the coaching things that y'all do, like this vicious circle of, you know, faking pretense that I'm putting stuff out there when I'm really just masking and hiding in the rock?
It's very interesting.
Underneath the rock, like crawling underneath it like a turtle.
Yeah. It's very interesting, because I have said this to clients before. For some reason, and I'm grateful. I don't mean for some reason in a bad way. I tend to attract female clients mm-hmm. who are just unreasonably humble and the most heart-driven humans you will ever meet in your entire life, but they never ask. They don't ask for what it is that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a big piece of it is the fear of success. So very much what you're talking about. It's unfortunately the most humble, heart-driven humans are often the ones that are taken advantage of. And they don't ever want to be the type of person that comes across as trying to take advantage of somebody else. And that becomes this vicious cycle of you're not going to be able to win and then do good because it becomes this cycle. So I've said this many times. Oftentimes, all I'm doing with clients is I'm getting them to ask for what they actually are deserving of. That's mm-hmm. one piece. And I'm telling them that sales is actually help for them. Just take the S-A-L-E-S or sale and then just change that with H-E-L-P. Mm-hmm. And that's all you're doing. And you deserve to get paid for it. But I thought it was all about fear of failure. I thought everybody had a fear of failure or you were successful. Ellen revealed to me that there are some people that have the fear of success. And I never knew that was a thing until 5 years ago.
Yeah. And I loved his story when he shared it because it was so different than mine. It really allowed me to see, like, you know, there's really people who never not ever feeling not confident is a thing. Like, what? Are you even human? Like, what the heck? But it's hilarious because I assume everybody's confident but me. But then, you know, you see this where that's not the case. And I also see something that has been my journey, and tell me what your thoughts are on this. I wasn't afraid of failing. I was afraid of what that failure would mean about the fears that I had convinced myself of. So if I'm not perfect, which, haha, that's funny to even expect that, first off. But if I'm not a certain way that people expect me to be, they're going to abandon me, right? So my core fear was abandonment, not failure. Failure was a block of that. But if they abandon me, then that confirms I'm not valuable. I'm not worthy, which is why I was given up for adoption to begin with, right? Obviously, I wasn't valuable or they would have kept me. So the story that I built around that created this lifelong people-pleasing, overachieving, trying to make everybody happy so that they wouldn't leave me situation. And what it came down to was this tremendous amount of shame in this, what felt like public humiliation that I had been abandoned. Mm-hmm. So like the fear just got exacerbated. And I have talked to several women that experience the same thing. And it's this shame. So that it's fear, shame, and a fear of public shame.
Hmm.
I had someone tell me that that is tied to a DNA epigenetic link to back in the day when women were tried as witches for trying to help people. Have you ever heard that?
I've never heard of the epigenetic part of it, no.
So there's a DNA link to someone, and they call it a witch wound, where someone in your lineage, and I'm getting like really woo-woo, this is, I know, so crazy, but if you think about it, it makes sense. Women used herbs to, you know, help with childbirth or pain, or, you know, when someone was sick, they would get herbs, and that's how they took care of things in certain, like my family came from Ireland, so they lived in the Highlands or wherever. And they had to live off the land, and so they used herbs to heal. And when the Christian or the Protestants came in and tried to convert in an effort to control, they called these people witches. And so they would be accused of witchcraft when they were just like naturist or whatever. Anyway, so they were, there's this lineage of being like burned at the stake. There's fear of being burned and shamed at publicly.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, oh my gosh, that doesn't make any sense, yet it makes so much sense at the same time. This fear of being brought out into the public, there is a point to my rambling. The fear of being brought out in public and humiliated and having your shame for everyone to see. And when I heard that, it like shined a spotlight on my shame, which was, you know, being given up and abandoned and adopted. And when you bring something into the light and you talk about it, it's like you take away the power that it has over you. And so when you're talking about feeling vulnerable and struggling with this insecurity, it's like, oh, okay, now I control the narrative. You control the narrative. And when we control the narrative, we can also control how it impacts us. And I feel like that's how we take our power back. And that's how we transform people, by controlling the narrative and having, you know, the say of, this is my story, I get to say it. You don't get to tell on me, I just told on me. So nana nana boo boo one. So in that scenario, I love that you get to be that vulnerable person. I was just on a podcast and he was like, when is vulnerability ever bad? And I said, you know, I don't want my surgeon or my pilot on, you know, American Airlines to come in and go, you know, I'm having a really bad day and I'm feeling very depressed and a little like self-deprecating and suicidal. You're driving the plane. I don't want to hear your vulnerabilities in that moment, or you're about to operate on me. I don't want to hear your vulnerabilities. But as a coach, as someone that's, you know, talking to me in this level, it's really critically important.
Yeah.
So I think it's those people, like the pilots and the people who are leading the charge, our nation or, you know, a company, like your employees probably need to see strength and vulnerability, but they need to know you're in control. They need to know you got them. They're safe. And so how do we, in this space, do both for people?
One other place I would say vulnerability is dangerous is when it's still an open wound, not a scab.
So true.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. That's so true. If you haven't done the healing, if you're not healed, then it's perpetuating.
Yeah. It's almost not vulnerability. It's almost you're just digging more at that point.
It's
a very challenging question because our team, we're very strange in the way we lead our team. The majority of our team are women.
Okay.
And I cannot, if you said, Kev, I'll give you $1 million if you can give me the exact number of how many times you have cried on a team call, I'd ballpark it at a dozen. I'm just throwing a number out there. Ellen, probably the same amount. Another member of the team, at least a dozen. There are tears that fly on every one of these, pretty much. And I think the best way that I could speak on it is sometimes telling the truth, whether the truth is powerful or the truth is terrible or it's empowering or it's disempowering, I think telling the truth is vulnerable because it shows, look, sometimes vulnerability is me saying, Karen, I don't want to tell you this. This is not what I want to tell you. Are you sure you want me to tell you what you're asking me to tell you? Because I don't want to do it because it scares me because I think you're going to villainize me because you're going to think I don't like you. And that's not true. That's vulnerable as much as me saying I'm a little bit nervous that XY is going to happen.
Yeah.
So redefining what vulnerability actually means. My vulnerable is me saying I'm not smart enough. Ellen's vulnerable is him saying he's afraid he's going to be the smartest person in the room. Many people won't empathize with that. What a tough problem to have. But that's his experience.
Right.
So if
and
anything,
it's still valid. Like, valid. Let's not negate that because it's still his lived experience. And I think that's the thing that, sorry to interrupt, but I think that's the thing that makes what's happening on social media and in our politics right now so polarizing is we invalidate other people's experiences because they're different. They're opposing. And so in coaching specifically, and what y'all do, and very much in what I do as well, just acknowledging and validating that just because your experience is makes it important. It I may not understand it, but it's still valid and it's still very important and it's still been a huge part of why you are who you are today. So I wish we could do that more on social media, and I definitely wish they could do it more in the political realm, because this polarizing, you're awful because you're voting for some certain candidate, it makes you my enemy. And I think it's more what they're trying to tell us to do and less of what the people would do if they were just left to their own.
Yeah, social media is a weird, I think it makes everything super strange, because most of it now has become about significance.
Mm.
And attention is significant. So
right.
I think many humans, again, I'll stop saying most, I don't want a blanket statement, many humans are significance driven.
Uh-huh.
And social media is a very easily accessible way to gain significance.
Yeah. And an easy way to measure significance, right?
Yeah.
If you've got the followers, okay, there's the proof.
100%. Or the expectation, right? You might hear, okay, Kevin has a podcast that's successful in this amount of dollars and this amount of listens. He must feel X significance. Mm-hmm. Maybe. It might be more. It might be less. It depends. It depends.
Yeah.
I wanted to quickly touch on the vulnerability thing. The team has seen us cry a lot, but the team has also seen the way that we show up every day. And I think it's that. I will be vulnerable with you, and then I will wake up tomorrow and I will do what needs to be done in order to make sure that this ship continues moving in the right direction. Strength and warmth. And the other thing is, behind the scenes, there's a lot more strength than maybe in front of the scenes.
Sure.
So I
Which
think
is why
that.
The ship stays upright.
Hopefully. That's the goal. That's the goal. If we're doing it right, the ship is upright, sailing in a positive direction.
So in your experience, what do you feel like is the most impact, the biggest rock that has had a definition of your purpose, I guess. Let me reframe that, because that was really culminated. So in this journey of vulnerability, and I'll edit all that up, in this journey of vulnerability and you discovering there's power in that vulnerability, and you've stepped into this podcast and the Next Level Universe with Alan, where is your purpose in that being just absolutely lived 100% or at fullest capacity? Is it in sharing the messages and the coaching and all of the above? Like, how are you living out that calling these days?
I just think of it as how I show up as the type of person that would help the old Kev. I want to be the type of person that I needed when I was struggling. Somebody asked me recently, Karen, and it's a great question. It just doesn't work with me because my answer's strange. What is the legacy you hope to leave? I don't think that way. Most of your audience has never heard of me. This is the first time you and I have the pleasure of meeting face to face. My legacy is however much time you and I have together. And you and I, after that, may never speak again. I hope that's not the case, but it may happen. And your audience may never hear from me again. I have whatever time you and I have together today to do my thing, to be the type of person that I needed when I was at my lowest point. And then I go to my next meeting and I do the same thing. And if I do that every single day for the rest of my life, not just on interviews, but at the supermarket, at the restaurant, at the gym, with my family, then I'm living directly in alignment with what I believe my purpose is. And I think I can have the impact that I want to have based on that.
So wouldn't that also then equate to that's your legacy?
Yeah, but it's almost like the macro legacy is made up of a bunch of micro legacies.
Yes.
So I would say yes. Yeah.
So it could be yes and.
Yes and.
Right? I love living in the land of yes and. I grew up living in the land of but.
Mm.
Like, I want to do that, but I can't. I want to have that car, but I don't have the money. Right? So now, and my kids say it now, my husband says it now. Okay, yes, and this. Because, you know, how can I have that car? How can I have this legacy? How can I serve the Kev that needed me back then and the Kev that's going to need me in 5 years? The Kev that needs me today. How can I live in that? Hearing what you've shared, I feel like that's a no-brainer. You're doing that.
I appreciate it.
By the conversations and how you're showing up here. So for my listeners that don't know you, what is the one thing you would like to be known for beyond being that person that the people behind you that are walking on these rocks that you've taken out of your bag and laid down on the ground and they're following your path and, you know, all the breadcrumbs that you're leaving, they're being impacted. But what are they going to know you for?
I want them to know me for doing the right thing, even when it's hard, doing the thing that's best for them. Being safe, I think, is, yeah, protecting them, even though at times I will have to give them a truth that probably seems like I'm not trying to protect them, but I am. It's that, yeah. It's the dichotomy of those things. I've always been very protective of the people I care about. Always, mm-hmm. always. Our community, if you're going to come at somebody, it better be me. It better not be a member of the community. You can come at me. Don't,
yeah.
Please leave the community alone. That's just the way I'm wired. And especially with a community that has a lot of women in it that have been taken advantage of by men. That's not going to happen. That will not happen in our community. I refuse. So there's like a very, that's like the vulnerable but strong side. Is like I get very angry thinking about that, but it's all from a place of love, and I just don't want to see that happen to anybody, right?
Yeah. So sounds like you have a really hard justice line.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I can really relate to that. I am definitely an advocate for those who can't defend themselves. That came, I think, from many things in my life. One, having a special needs son, you know, seeing the vulnerable of our society, the most vulnerable, and not them not having a voice or, you know, being taken advantage of. And then having a son who, my oldest son is in a drug addiction, in and out of drug addiction recovery. And so just seeing those vulnerable in our population being misled and just stuff like that's happened, I just have a really hard justice line and vulnerability. I don't know. I can relate to that so much. Let me just leave it there. But okay. So also when you said that, I remember something that Alan said on his podcast interview with me that I don't remember exactly how he put it, but when you said that you were like this really protective, that's exactly who I expected you to show up as, because that was the message that he gave me on who you were to him. Like you were this, I don't want to call it a watchdog, but like you were the one that he always knew would have his back and the community's back. Like you were that protector of the brand. And so that's exactly how I expected you to show up. And I love that you said that was important to you, because that's who your community sees you as.
That means more to me than probably anything else, honestly. And
yeah,
it's been it's hard. Alan, I don't know if I've ever met a human being who's tried to help as many people as Alan has, including myself. He's just more capable than I am. That's just the truth. Who has been villainized more than he has. It's this weird thing. It just, that's why the empathy is so important, because I think people assume a tall, sure, blonde hair, blue eyed, great college degree, made a lot of money, must have it all. So that's not the truth. And I think that's just, I just know behind the scenes. I think,
yeah.
And you're a coach, you understand. When you are given the responsibility to see behind the scenes into so many people's lives, you see all of the amazing stuff and you see a lot of the dark stuff that nobody else gets to see. And then you start to, the naivete goes away quickly when you realize how heavy life is. And that's just, now I know. And once you know, you don't put it back in the box.
You can't unknow. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't unknow it.
And I think one of the things that's been so eye-opening because I have been very fortunate to see behind the scenes of some of my, they say don't meet your heroes for a reason, because oftentimes you have expectations and they're human. And so you get to see the human side of them. Their humanity is often very underwhelming and really disappointing. But then it's like, oh, okay, let's normalize what a hero really is. It's someone who is a human and shows up in big ways for a lot of people with a lot of expectations. But I've also been just so pleasantly surprised when the people you think are integrous, you think that they're just doing the right thing, and you get behind the scenes and you get to see them doing that when they think no one else is watching, right? And you see them do the right things that cost them big because they're doing the right thing. And you're like, yes, you are exactly who I thought you were. And that is so relieving. And then you see others and you're like, oh, you are not who I thought you were at all. That was all smoke and mirrors. Now I know.
But like you said, they're people. That's the thing. They're just people who are in a different place in life, maybe further, maybe different.
Yep.
But they're just people going through life trying to figure this weird thing out.
Yeah, and life be lifin'.
Always. It never stops. And when it does stop, it's not good. So I'd rather life be lifin' than life not be lifin', for sure.
Yeah. Well, anything else that you want to just, like golden nuggets, mic drop moments, anything you want to impart to our community before we have to wrap it up? Because I feel like we could go so much longer, but man, we've been talking for 42 minutes and it's just so good.
It goes by so fast.
Yeah.
One thing I like to say, because now I'm really starting to understand how privileged I am. Again, I've worked very diligently, but I am privileged to quite literally be living my dreams. I know how statistically rare that is. Your reality becomes the parts of your imagination that you hold on to and pour into the longest. Over the last 7 years, I have let go of a lot. People, places, things, ideas, and feelings. They didn't serve me. And I stopped pouring into a lot. But the stuff that I have held on to and poured into the most has garnered the best results. And I just think now that I have 7 years to look back, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But on the day-to-day, it might not seem like it makes sense at all. But eventually, hopefully, you do it long enough where you can look back and you start to see the pattern. So that's probably what I would leave the wonderful audience with.
Wow, that definitely was a golden nugget. And like you said that, and I'm like, I feel that so deeply. Because when you're knee-deep or eyeball-deep sometimes, in the middle, you can't see the impact. It's only when you're looking at it from, perspective view, looking back or, really 30,000 foot, and you could see the impact that you're making and the difference that it made and how those little decisions. And this has been my entire life. Like, you make one decision and it sends you a totally different direction. It's like a fork in the road and you don't even realize it at the time, but that one decision sent you on a completely different trajectory. I almost couldn't say that. Sends you on a different path and can change the end results. Like, they say that if you're leaving from, I'm sure you've heard this, if you're leaving from Atlanta and the pilot is off by 1 degree, it's the difference of landing in like Florida or New York by 1 degree difference because of the rotation of the earth and like all the things that happen. So just one thing different every day can make such a difference in the long run.
Yeah.
Thank you
for
sharing that, because that just reminded me of that. And I'm sure our listeners are feeling it too right now. Like, that is exactly what I need to hear, because you get kind of bogged down in the muck and the mire of the daily. And we all need to be reminded just that one thing, just keep going.
100%. Yeah, little by little. So, that's it.
Little by little.
Direction's more important than speed.
Yes, yes, yes. So, okay. So we know that we can find you over on nextleveluniverse.com, and you host the Next Level University podcast. Where else can our lovely people find you. It's going to be in the show notes, but if they're walking, driving, and they want to follow you somewhere else, what's the best way to connect with you?
The best way to connect is probably Instagram. My handle is at NeverQuitKid. And since you mentioned you have a lot of coaches that listen, I don't know if these coaches are podcasters, but I have a podcast called Podcast Growth University also that is all about how to succeed as a podcaster. I love it. So I like talking about podcasting. So that's another free resource for everybody.
I love that. So we're going to capture all that. And did I get this right? Never Quit Kid?
You did. Yes.
That is so cool. I love that.
Eventually, I have to change it to man, I think. I'm 35, so how long can I be a kid for? I don't know.
You know what? I think you're always a kid to somebody.
Okay, I'll accept
that. So we're just, you know, my grandmother was 95, and she called her children kids.
Mm.
Like, you know, the boys and the girls, and so... we're always kids to somebody, so I'm just going to roll with it. Stay with kid. I love it. All right. Well, thank you so much for this conversation. I love, love, love all the things that we shared. We went a little deep on some things, and I got a little woo-woo, but my listeners are used to that now. But I just love it and appreciate you so much. Appreciate what you and Alan are doing over there. And if you're not familiar with Next Level Universe, y'all, you've got to go check this out. They've got a mastermind. They have so many good resources, free resources, paid resources. It's a great community. Go get plugged in, follow them, check out his podcast, and make sure that you are getting help moving those rocks. Wow, wasn't today's guest amazing? I hope that you enjoyed them as much as I did, and I hope that you got something super valuable. So just for being here, I want to gift you free access to my Reclaim Your Confidence course. It's a mini course, short 5 modules. It's impactful, yet it's not super heavy. So use VIP2024 as a code to get free access to this course just for showing up and listening to this entire episode. And I also want to know, what are you getting from this? What would you like to see? What are future episodes? Who do we need to be talking to? Who has some amazing rocks that they want to share? And that's by sharing, commenting, and subscribing to the Rock Movers, and then following me over on social media. We want to stay connected. We want to be a part of your world. And I want to invite you to be a part of mine. If you'd like to book a call, go a little bit deeper into some of these topics, you can find a link to book that call on CoachKarenGray.com. You're always invited to join me there, and I can't wait to dive into deeper conversations with you. That's my way of giving back and saying thank you for being a part of our rock moving community. Until the next episode, or until we jump on the call, have a great day and keep moving those rocks.